Let's all stand and turn the order of the service over. We'll sing number 383.
He's all I need. He's all.
Saddle.
Yes. I might be sitting sideways or something like that, but
it's all right.
Amen. I really appreciate all the prayers that each one has given on my behalf, and I certainly appreciate Brother Daniel picking up so much of the load that he did and has. He always done that whenever I'm out of pocket. He's always been good to do that, and I just thought it was really interesting how Brother Timothy had picked this last weekend to be able to come and minister for us, and that was the same time Brother Daniel was going to be gone,
yeah,
not knowing.
That's right.
And it just shows you how the Lord provides. Mm-hmm. And so I certainly appreciate that. It's always good to see the Lord do so, such wonderful things. Mm-hmm. We'll go ahead and get into the scriptures tonight. Exodus chapter 2. Several places to read in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Mm-hmm. Then we want to go to Mark chapter 4. St. Mark chapter 4. Verse 26 through 29. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And then Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. This is the parable of the tares and the wheat. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first together the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's bow our hearts to him for a moment. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we are asking that you would just take this service in your hands. Lord, we have read your scriptures there tonight. Lord, we know that it does not lay within a man to break the bread of life, but with you only. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves. We present ourselves to you as willing vessels, Lord, that you would be able to speak through us, hear through us, perceive through us. Lord, that you just have complete liberty tonight here among your people. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're just going to time this harvest time a simple little thought I want to share with you tonight. Harvest time. You know, this world is God's field, right? This world is his field. Doesn't belong to somebody else. Doesn't belong to the governments of the world or anyone else. It belongs to God. And so this world is his field, and he what's growing here, he's got a desire for a harvest. And so we just kind of want to speak on that just for a moment. You know, there are many churches out here in the world that have the word harvest in their name, like harvest time or something like that. And you know, to them, it's a nice, catchy name, right? And it implies that we are at harvest time, and it implies that at harvest time they're going to be able to bring in many souls. That's the whole concept there. The whole many souls would be gathered in. But the truth of the whole matter is that not. And when we talk about harvest time and all the seeds, this world is full of seeds growing. We're seed that God has planted. We just read the parable there, that the Son of Man sowed the children of the kingdom, and the wicked one comes along and sowed his children. And so, but the whole truth of the matter is that at harvest time, not one of those seeds, not one of those plants, not one of those fruits that's coming forth became something at harvest time that it wasn't all along.
Right.
All along. You know, the world wants to tell you that just anybody can be a Christian. The only ones that, you know, here's what the prophet said, that that only the predestinated are considered in redemption. Yeah. Right? Because the word redeem means to bring back, and you can't bring somebody back to somewhere they weren't in the first place. Right? So you see, at the end of the harvest time, when something comes forth in the fruit, it can only come forth in fruit of what its seed was that started it in the first place. And so I thank God for a message that would come along and preach and tell us truth and tell us things that God wants us to hear and get us out of denominational thinking.
Right?
Right? And so, you know, I think so many times when you read the scriptures, and some of these things that are taught out there, you would never get that from the scriptures if you just read scriptures by itself.
Right.
But you got influences out here of all these people, and they, influence people into believing things that just simply aren't scriptures. And so we are thankful that God would send forth a message to bring truth. You know, God, the scripture says, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Can't just have one
or
the other, but you have to have both. And as I've illustrated in the past, God dwells in his word, mm-hmm. right? I think of the word of God as being the body that he dwells in, and that body has to have a spirit.
Right. Yeah.
And where the word is, that spirit is. Where if you want to know where Brother Daniel's spirit is, find his body. Right? If you want to find out where his body is, look for his spirit. You'll find his spirit in his body, right? And that's the way it is with all. And you'll find God in what he dwells in. And the word is the image of the invisible God.
Right.
And so we have to worship. You know, if I wanted to commune, with Brother Daniel, I can't just do it with his spirit. I have to do it with spirit and body. And if you want to have true fellowship with God, you have to do it through the Spirit and through truth.
Right.
You can't have just word. Right. Baptists might have that. You can't have just spirit. Pentecostal might have that. Mm-hmm. But you have to have both.
Right.
And so get the word, and truly the true spirit of the word will come to the word. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we know that's what the message has come for to do in this end time. And so, not one of those fruits became anything different at harvest time than what it was all along.
Right.
Right? But what it did do, what it does do at harvest time is it becomes a full manifestation of the seed that it was all along. Mm-hmm. That's what happens in harvest time. Mm-hmm. Full manifestation of the seed that it is, of what it is. Just like the original. If you really think about that, when you plant anything, the whole concept of planting the seed in the ground is in hopes of the whole process that at the end you'll have a multitude just like the original to take one and come up with many. That's why we talk about the gospel, you know, that Jesus said unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, then it brings forth many. And the early church went through martyrdom and all the things that happened to the early church and has come back up in a reformation. And the whole concept is at the end there will be more than what you planted at the beginning.
Right.
These are physical concepts, but these are Bible concepts. And it would be foolish for us to expect something different than what the concept is. And we realize God is... He is Lord of the harvest. He's the one that controls how much you get from what you plant,
right?
Good or bad. But for us, we should have expectations in our heart of what the Word of God has said. There will be a bride at the end, and she'll be like that original that went in the ground and be more.
Right.
Amen? So we believe that. So these seeds that go in the ground are just like the original. And when it comes harvest time, they put full manifestation of what they are. And so we read there in Mark where he was talking about, where he said, and when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts forth the sickle. And so the concept there that I'm wanting you to pick up on there is that When you see these things begin to put forth full manifestation, you know that the harvest time is at hand. You know that he's fixing to put forth that sickle and reap. And you know, a sickle is not used to gather grapes. It's not used to gather figs. So it's not that harvest. A sickle is used for gathering wheat, and you can also use it for barley. And so you know there's different harvests. There's a wheat harvest, there's barley harvest, there's the figs and the vine. It's the last. And we know when Scripture talks about the wine press, the reaping of the wine, that is the wine press of the wrath of God. That is tribulation. But prior to that, before we get to that, is the wheat harvest. That's why in the message we have the symbols, the pictures of wheat. Because this is the wheat harvest where God is gathering the grain into the barn, right? And so we understand that. But the Scripture said there, Jesus speaking, that when this fruit comes forth, immediately he puts forth the sickle. So it's wheat harvest. So that's speaking of us. When it begins to put forth fruit, immediately he does that. And as I said a while ago, it says he puts forth the sickle. He is the Lord of the harvest. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we begin to see full manifestation, not just of church, but I'm talking about this is harvest time. And at harvest time, everything has to put forth full manifestation of what it is. And it can't help it. Listen, if there's an entity on this earth right now that is the bride of Jesus Christ, if there are people on this earth right now that are children of Almighty God, they are destined. They can't do anything but come to full manifestation as sons and daughters of God, because that's the gene that's in them. And if it's harvest time, they have to come forth in full manifestation. Right. Nothing can stop it. What should we be expecting? Right. What should we be expecting in our lives? None other than full manifestation of sonship of God. Amen. Right? Because if it's harvest time, right? And so at harvest time, when you can look out and you can begin to see full manifestation of all the seeds out there in the world. Remember in the Scriptures said, when you see the fig tree put forth, you know, and all the other trees, then you know that the time is at hand. So if we're at harvest time, then all these seeds out here in the world that's been planted, both seeds of the children of the kingdom and also of the tares, all of those things now have to put forth full manifestation of what they are. They can't hide anymore. It's the hour for them to come out of the closet. It's the hour that they no longer try to be subtle, but they come out in full force declaring what they are. Right? That's what happened. And when you begin to see that, you know harvest is at hand, because the Scripture said when these things happen, he's going to put forth the sickle. So just for us as believers, when we look and we see the things that are going on in this world, it should bring a joy in our hearts to know that we're nearing that time. And also at the same time, we should be looking inward. Yeah. Looking inward with expectation of growth in our own Christian walk and our own spiritual anointing. That we should look and find growth there that matches the hour that we see that's unfolding on right now.
Yeah.
Amen. And so when you see that, then you know the rapture is at hand.
Right.
Right? And so when you see them coming out of the closet, you know, and you could go all over the place. Everything out there is coming out in full force. Coming out to be everything that it is. So in Matthew, we saw the account there of the wheat and the tares. And in speaking of religious things, because this is what it's speaking of, the children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked, being wheat and tares, there's only two groups represented there. The children of God, the children of the wicked one. And they've been growing together. They've been growing together for ages. And throughout those ages, there wasn't, God had not given anointing and information and revelation for people to know the difference. That's why the scripture said, let them grow together, because while you're trying to get rid of the wicked, you might get rid of some of God's people. Right. This is what the scripture's saying. So we know that throughout the ages there has been confusion. But the scripture is telling us that we are to expect at the end something to come forth and take place that we'll be able to discern the difference between them. And the difference happens at harvest time.
Right.
Even says that, you know, when it put forth fruit, they can tell, oh, there's here. Nope, just let them alone. But at harvest time, then we'll be able to deal with it. Right? And so, when you see all these things happening, then you should know that in the land is a move of God that can tell the difference of what's been laying there all along, that's been accepted all along as being Christianity and all that, that now at the end time there would be a message come forth, angels, because the scripture said angels come forth, would be able to discern the difference between all this nonsense and bring clarity so that you could understand who were the children of God and who are not. And those that are imitations. You know, it sounds harsh to say those things, but this is what the Bible says. Jesus taught this. That there are people on this earth that are not children of God.
Right.
And how would you know? Because the Word will declare it. It's not for a man to declare. It's not for a man to try and vindicate God's Word. God vindicates His Word Himself. He doesn't need a man to do that. Yeah. He vindicates it. So these have been growing together all this time and have to come to harvest time. Yeah. Have to come to full manifestation of what they are. Full maturity. But then at a time like that, we'd be able to come, a move of God would come to where we could know the difference. Couldn't know it throughout the ages what they were. I used to work with a guy, and he said, when the churches quit fighting with one another, then I'll start going to church. Right? Oh, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? They'll come together under an ecumenical movement, right? But at end time, we are to know. God would send forth His angels, which, who knows? God would send forth angels, and they would begin to gather together. Here's how Brother Branham said it would gather. He would gather all the people, all the tares, gather them into bundles to be burnt. Would gather the wheat into the barn.
Right.
This is the way he described it. God would send forth angels, send forth messengers. Messengers that would bring forth a message that would gather together and do a separating. God has always been a segregationalist, not necessarily of color, but definitely of spirit. And so these angels would come forth, and how would they do it? They would preach. They would speak. There would be a message come forth. And when I think of that, I think about the seven angels that came to Brother Branham. Those angels represented those seven church ages. And there were things that each of those men that in their day, that loose ends that were left, that weren't tied up. And those loose ends had to be brought forth. And we know that each one of those angels came day by day and would speak to Brother Branham. And so here's a prophet standing here, and each day he's bringing forth a message that's been given to him from eternity. And so we know that through the opening of the seven seals, now we can understand a lot of things that we couldn't understand prior to that.
Right.
And so now we can know that there are different seeds out there. Now we can know there's a family of God And that they're predestinated to come to full fruit, to be sons and daughters of God in this day, regardless of what the rest of the world does. Coming, those two seed lines, tares and wheat, they've been growing for thousands of years, coming to this time right now where you and I live right now. Moving in this direction to become full-fledged manifestation of what they were to begin with. Working for thousands of years. And now that they're here, they can't be something different. These people generating all these laws and rules, and they're just clamping down on people, coming after all of the Christian rights and all the things like that. They can't do anything but that, because that's the gene that they are. They're ordained, the wicked are ordained to become more wicked. Right? They can't help it. But at the same time, the children of God are ordained and anointed to become a full manifestation of sons and daughters of God in this hour. They can't be anything different. And so, you know, all seeds started in Genesis. Right? Everything that's out here today, every ism, here's how Brother Branham would say it, every ism, every religious system out here today started in Genesis. Now, people might not think that. People might say, well, our movement started in 18-whatever or 17-whatever or 19-whatever. But the spirits behind that, because listen, there's only two. There's the children of God, and then there's tares.
Right.
There's only two. And they all started in Genesis. And those spirits, those seeds that started there have come all the way down through time. And now here at this time in the book of Revelation, they can only be what they were when they started out in Genesis. So Brother Bram tells us that all those isms started way back there. And you know, as we've said many times, all through the message, Genesis, gene, right? Geniuses. And when in Genesis, when they began to drift away from the Word of God and from what God had established, it was Nimrod and his dad and that movement which became Babylon.
Right.
And Brother Bram said that there's only one thing in scriptures that would type the mark of the beast or type, organized religion, right? And that was Nimrod with the Tower of Babel, where he went out and forced people. And Brother Bram said it this way, it was a forced unity. And they did that simply because they moved away from the Word of God. When you move away from the Word of God, you become Babylon.
Right.
And that's what happened back then. And we can look back in history and say, oh, that was Babylon. Look what they did. Physical Babylon. But you find out that in the New Testament, there's a spiritual Babylon, a church system that's a mystery. And in the revelation happening here at the end time, God unfolding and these mysteries coming forth so that you and I could understand that there's a church system today that's doing today exactly like what Nimrod did back then, and that it's coming to full power now because it was a seed then and it's now coming to full manifestation now, that today it'll be a forced unity. And it will wind up being the mark of the beast. Right? I don't doubt that there might be a time where physically people have to have something, some whatever. But we understand that mark of the beast is a mark of unbelief.
Right.
To disbelieve. Matter of fact, when you reject the Spirit of God, you'll take on the mark. You'll take on the if you reject the seal of God, you'll have the mark of the beast.
Right.
It's what comes to you. And so, because of the seven seals being opened, now we can know those things. And so now we have before us a spiritual Babylon bringing forced unity. Can't you look out in the world today and see what's happening? These powers growing, becoming more powerful, using the power that they have to gain more power, to eliminate opposition, to fortify themselves and to unite themselves together and create more power and more power. and so that they can force everyone else into their program. And so that's what all this is when you look out there and you'll be canceled. You'll be canceled if you don't line up with what their mentality is and what they're pushing. See, it's leading in that direction into a forced unity. That their plan is to force every person on the planet of the earth to line up with their program, which will put them at the top in full power. It's nothing but a beast system. It's a religious system. Right. These people that have all these LGBTQ and all these things, these has become a religion to them.
Yeah.
And so they're going to push it on you. We're coming after your children. Right? Forced unity.
Right.
And that's all it's, you know, and I've said, I tell people, you know, if there's one thing Donald Trump has done, that it has allowed people to see what's out there. Because you can be as rich and of a person, but if you don't line up with that system, they'll take you out.
Yeah.
They'll cancel you, no matter who you are. And these things are here so that you and I can know we're at that time. That's. But if those things are growing to power, what do you think's happening in the Bride of Christ? What do you think is happening with the sons and daughters of God? While that's happening, because remember, you've got to remember this. This is God's world. This is His field. He's the one that planted the children of the kingdom. He's going to have a harvest. He knows how to deal with all those that are after contrary.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what He's doing. To send forth His messengers and deal with that kingdom. So we got to have confidence in what God says and expect that in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see that in your life, begin to dig down and ask God why.
Right.
Why do you not have see these things working in your life? Sonship. Growing, coming to maturity. Amen. So the scripture said, let them grow together. God has let this happen. God has let genuine sons and daughters of God have to be out here in this field while all around us is a bunch of nonsense growing up trying to compete and take away all resources that God wants for us. Through deception and lies and all those things. They're all around us. But God has permitted that.
Yeah.
But here we are at harvest time. And you know it is. Mm-hmm. And God has promised to deal with it.
Amen.
Amen? While they're maturing, so are the sons of God. And you look at that and you think, oh, it looks so terrible. But listen, God knows what He's doing. That condition out there, all that is a tool in God's hand to help us come to full manifestation. I think I've seen this in growing in gardens and things in the past that it seems to me like, and maybe those who know about it, there's probably a name for it or whatever, but it seems to me like that when a plant, is growing and maybe it should be putting forth fruit and it's not, or maybe it's not quite ready, it's time for it to put forth fruit or whatever, or maybe, but it seems to me like that if you could go and you could damage that plant a little bit, it'll throw itself into making fruit quicker. Follow me? That sometimes under pressure, we know that just the heat of July, August can cause these things. The heat of summer being trials, tribulations, things like that. What can the sun do to a wheat plant? All it can do is make that wheat become mature. That tribulation cannot make it be something different.
Tribulation can only take and make a son or daughter of God become more a son or daughter of God.
Yeah.
That's all it can do. And all these pressures and all this stuff out here putting squeeze on us, all that can do, those pressures can just push us right out to become more a son and daughter of God in this hour. That's all it can do. Because that's what's in us. And so, like I said, maybe damage your plan or whatever, and that trauma could throw it into becoming seed and fruit quicker. And so, we might look out and the devil might say, we're coming after you, and he might want you to look out there and he might want your heart to fail for fear. But that's not our lot. Our lot is not to look out and be fearful of those things, because when we look out and see that, we see the plan of God moving. And those things cannot take us down and make us be less sons and daughters of God. It will make us become more sons and daughters of God manifested. Move us to that harvest time, to maturity. That's all it can do. Hardships, trials, tribulations can't change who you are. Except just help you mature.
Yeah.
That's all it can do. At harvest time.
Right.
And so, might look out and Satan will say, oh, they're coming after you. They're gonna do all that and all these things like that. And to an unbeliever or to a person that's not really staying in the presence of God and feeding on the Word, fear might try to grip your heart. And that comes from the devil. And so he might tell you that. But listen, yes, God's letting them grow to power. Yes, he's going to let the beast system rule for 1 hour. Yes, he's going to let those things happen. But listen, he's not letting them come to full power to destroy you. They're coming to power as a tool to bring you to what you're to be. And so I read there where the children of Israel, where when they began to be under pressure, when a new Pharaoh died and another would come along, like the scripture said, they're raised, a Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. He began to bring persecution upon the children of Israel. He began to use them to build his treasure cities, like Satan does today. Systems that rob the people just to make them more powerful and richer. Right? This Pharaoh's demanding more for people with less resources for them to do it with. It's what you see, right? And so, but when Pharaoh, you know, God let that happen. But when that happened, what did he do? It caused the people to begin to cry out to God. And when the people began to cry out to God, their cry came up before him.
Yeah.
And he remembered his promise.
Right.
He hadn't forgotten anyway.
Right.
But he remembered his promise, and as the scripture said, and God looked down. He looked down on a bunch of slaves, a bunch of mud daubers. A bunch of people with stripes on their back that Pharaoh had put on them. And knowing how many had died and were persecuted and all the things, God looked down on a people in that condition and had respect upon them because they were crying out to him. And I ask you, can it be any different today? That God is waiting for his people. When they look around and they see these things, and you know it's contrary to what we want to be. But what should we be doing? Our cries should be coming up to him. We should be sighing and crying daily for the abominations are done in the city, as the scripture said.
Right.
Brother Bram tied that to a real experience in the Holy Ghost here at the end time, that's what would be there. That people who sighed and cried against the abominations done in the city. There that you find in the scriptures where they had the writer with the inkhorn would go and mark them and said, mark these people, and then go out to the destroyer and go destroy everybody that doesn't have that seal. And Brother Bram said, and it's happening again here at the end time. So brother, sister, Satan can lull us to sleep. He's done that a lot to a lot of people. But the truth is, we're still at harvest time. The truth is that Pharaoh is growing in strength and in power. That he does have an agenda. He is coming. But a people who should not be asleep should be awake, should be looking out and sighing and crying, and our cries should be coming up to the Lord. Amen. And if he can see that, I believe he'll have respect to that too, to people like that. Amen? Amen? God, we should be sighing and crying. You know, when the children of Israel got down to the Red Sea, you know, they go down there, I think you hear it illustrated a lot, like, oh, Moses is a poor general. God led him down there into a trap, down there at the river, and mountains on either side or whatever, and Pharaoh's right behind him, and they're ruined. You know, to the physical eye, to the natural eye, it looked like Israel was sitting ducks, right? God let them travel that way. He could have said go a different way, whatever. He could have made it so that they didn't get trapped in there. But God let them go there, and he let Pharaoh, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh come after him, and now they're there they are. It's like, look at them there. They can't go this way, they can't go that way, and the you know, the Red Sea's in front of them, and we got them now. We can get them now. We're going to get vengeance on this bunch. And that might have been what it looked like. Might have looked like that the whole circumstances had built up, and Pharaoh had come to the place where this was going to be a time where Israel was going to be destroyed. But that whole scenario was not there to have Israel destroyed. But that scenario was there that Egypt would be destroyed. And that's the way it is today. They're coming into their power, doing all the things they are, but it's not for our destruction, right? All these things, all that should do to a believer is make him down inside to something just anchored down that much deeper, saying, Lord, I'm staying with you. Amen. I'm staying with your word. Because I see what's going on, and you told us it was coming. You told us this time was here. You said there had come a message. And this message has come. And now we can see the difference between the seeds. Yeah. We know we're at this time. We're staying with you, Lord, regardless of what it looks like.
Right.
Amen. It actually anchors something down in your heart to stay with this gospel. Mm-hmm. Is what happens when you see these things. Amen. How many feels that way?
Amen.
To stay with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we've had, Brother Daniel and I were talking about it back there, but you know, we've had for 40, 50, 60 years, whatever, the message. Brother Bam talked about, you know, there's a mechanics, and then there's dynamics.
Right.
And you've got to have both, as I said a while ago, spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. You have to have the truth of the word that has been brought to us.
Yeah.
We have to have that. But brother, sister, it has to be more than just intellect.
Right, yeah.
It has to be a revelation.
Amen.
I'm not saying anything we haven't said for years. But brother, sister, it's got, there, something has to happen where there's a dynamics that works in his people.
Yeah.
Right? That has to come. And I believe that a people under pressure and all the things I said of crying out, that when we begin to see these things, that we should be, as Brother Brim said, desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Preach desperation right after Tolkien. That these things should be begin to take place in our hearts. We've had the mechanics for all these years, right? God letting us learn and understand these things. But there needs to come a quickening power so that these things we have are not just intellect. But they are a revelation that changes us. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I believe with all my heart, you know, if you just, and those of you who do, when I say what I'm going to say, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you get close to the Spirit of the Lord, get away from everything, quieten things, and get into the presence of God, you'll know that the move is on.
Amen.
And it should make you want in the move.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to Him as we close. Lord, we thank You for this little time tonight around Your Word. I pray, God, that Your people, Lord, they would think about these things. Consider them. Consider the hour that we're in. Consider the things that they see. And begin to look at their own lives, Lord, and to measure up, check up. And Lord, to make changes. As we know, maybe the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, looking for a different result. But we know, Lord, that if what has been going on as you do something and it doesn't work, you got to do something different. And so, Lord, may each one of us look down inside our own walk, our own prayer life, meditation, and ask ourselves, what needs to change? Lord, I pray that You would just cause each one to begin to meditate upon that and to begin over the days to come, Lord, to think about those things, to pray about those things. Lord, may they enter into their prayer closet and may they shut things off and get more time with You and begin to see where they need to go in the Spirit, Lord. May You meet them. We know, God, that if they take a step to You, towards You, you'll definitely take a step toward them. And so we pray, God, that You would just take these words tonight into their hearts. And they would consider their ways, Lord, that each one of us could take inventory of the hour that we're in and where we are so we could make changes and know what we need to do, Lord, get to for Your Holy Spirit to reciprocate. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sing a song. I don't know if Brother Elijah's got one picked out or.
In moments like these.
Okay.
See you.